News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT proudly presents America's Coolest Conservative. Well, proudly could be stretching it a bit. Welcome to the DJ Ritchie Show.
Here we are, live from the Satellite Studio. The Satellite Studio being my home, well, what is my home at the moment. I am sitting amongst a bunch of packed boxes and radio equipment strewn about because I'm in the process of moving. My wife and I are moving. So, you know, that's a big deal in your life when you're doing that. We haven't lived in this house very long. We built the house about 4 years ago or something like that, maybe getting close to 5 years. But now both of our children are grown and they live off on their own. So we are in that dreaded old people stage. Well, not dreaded. I hate to say that. It's dreaded when you get old, but you know, I don't like the term empty nester because it sounds too much like something that Yankees would say or just non-Southern people. And, you know, I'm true to my Southern roots at all times. But, I mean, that's what it is. And we sold the house. And now we are moving into another place that's close by until we can figure out what we're going to do as say people in our 50s whose children are grown and living on their own. It is easier to say empty nesters, but I'll just stick with the more wordy version. So as I was packing today, I've taken the week off from my morning show, the syndicated morning show I do called the TJ and Riggins Show. And since I haven't been working at this volunteer job long enough to acquire any type of vacation, I still am having to do the presentation here every night this week. I don't know how long you have to work at a job that they don't pay you before you acquire vacation time. Never done a volunteer job before. But either way, I haven't been here long enough to be taking a week off. So that's why I'm at the home studio. So as I was packing today, you know, there's a lot of alone time when you're packing. And I was thinking about what I was going to talk about on the show tonight because my routine is out of sorts. And not having the time to just pore over every little thing that I find in the news and try to find an audio clip to match it and so forth and so on. I know that the number one topic in America still is the Charlie Kirk assassination and all of the things that have come with it. Now, I'm not going to do a bunch of Charlie Kirk stuff tonight like we did last night. But I was thinking about how I was going to do the show tonight, what I was going to talk about, what I'm going to talk about. And I was thinking about Charlie Kirk and that there seems to be two different types of people in regards to Charlie Kirk. And this happens all the time. Charlie Kirk is not the first person that has ever brought this type of a response. He just happens to be the one that everybody's talking about now. But when you see someone live their life the way Charlie Kirk lived his life, you can either see him and say, you know what? This guy really has a handle on what life is about and how we should be living it. I'm going to try to live my life more like Charlie Kirk. I'm going to try to be a better Christian. I'm going to try to be a better husband and a better dad. And I'm going to try to be more understanding of people. And I'm going to try to make the best of my life every single day and enjoy the happiness that comes to me. And when I have happiness in my life, I'm going to magnify it, and I'm going to sit and I'm going to hope that everybody that I come in contact with experiences the same amount of happiness that I do. Or you can look at someone like Charlie Kirk, and while a person that lives their life like Charlie Kirk can reflect the shortcomings that you have in the way that you live your life, you can learn from it and grow from it, or do like the other types of people, which is blame him for the way he lived his life. Point fingers at people like Charlie Kirk and blame them because your life is unhappy or because your life is miserable because of what you've made of it. You can blame Charlie Kirk and those types of people by making fun of them, and again, this is not as much about Charlie Kirk as it is the type of person that he was. You know, an outspoken Christian who doesn't do any of the things that anti-Christians always blame Christians for doing. You know, we're always the judgmental ones, and we're shoving our religion down their throats and, you know, all of this other stuff. They don't say that about any other religion. They don't say that Muslims shove their religion down our throats. They also don't say that type of thing unless a white person is a Christian and is praising their God, their Lord and Savior, our God. You know, as a whole, as a population, black people are a greater percentage of black people are Christian and consider themselves to be religious than white people. But you don't hear white liberals or any other liberal for that matter saying, why is Kirk Franklin shoving his religion down my throat all the time? What is C.C. Winans out here singing about constantly trying to get those Jesus messages stuck in my head? It doesn't happen. But you let a white Christian come along who's outspoken, lives the Christian lifestyle, lives the love that you're supposed to live for your fellow man, that you're supposed to have. A lot of people blame them for their shortcomings. Think about, if you're a sports fan, think about Tim Tebow's days in the NFL when he was just trying to make it. Tim Tebow never did anything, since he never said anything against anybody. Only thing he did was he lived his life according to the way that he saw fit in a walk with Jesus. And those liberal sports writers and everybody else just mocked him. I mean, whether you could criticize the way he got more criticism for the way he played because of his wearing his Christianity as a badge of honor. I believe that in my heart. So anytime there's someone who lives their life in a way that we know we would be better off doing that, living our lives like that, we can either use them as inspiration or we can mock them and use them as a weapon to get other people not to see our weaknesses. Sure, Charlie Kirk's out there saying this and saying that. He was a racist. Look at Charlie Kirk, who claimed to be so great. He was a racist. He was anti-trans. He was a hate monger and all that. So don't look at me and how I'm, going through these shortcomings in my life and why I'm miserable and why I'm unhappy all the time. Look at Charlie Kirk. He was fake. He wasn't what you thought he was. That's where the country is right now. You got those people, and then you got other people who are showing up in church in droves now and saying, I haven't been to church in a long time. This Charlie Kirk situation, and watching him has made me want to get back into church, or has made me want to be more considerate of others, or, you know, whatever the case may be. And as always, the professional Democrats, the politicians, the shady, slimy, anti-black Democrat preachers in black churches are always there to drive that wedge in between all of us. You are so right, they say, to the ones who are blaming the likes of Charlie Kirk for the way their lives are. He was bad. He was bad. Don't follow what Charlie Kirk lived. You follow what I tell you to live. And get in that voting booth and pull that lever for Democrat. Get in my church. Sign your paycheck over to me every month if you want salvation. So that's what I've been thinking about today. Now, I did think enough about the rest of the show to figure out what it's going to be about. So I guess we'll get into all of that coming up next.
It's TJ Ritchie.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.
He's radio royalty in the Carolinas and Queen Charlotte's sweetest prince. It's TJ Ritchie on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT.
Appreciate it. As always, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. If you want to call, 704-570-1110 is the number. You can also text on the WBT text line. It's the same number, driven by Liberty Buick GMC. Hey, Isaac, can you jump on a second, please?
Yes, sir.
Hey, can I even hear phone calls from the home studio? Can I even take the calls?
You know? You should be able to.
Oh, well, I should be able to.
I'm pretty confident in
Famous last words, my friend. You should be able to. Hey, where's Lonnie?
Lonnie Ray is in Studio D holding it down.
Okay. See if he can call, and we'll test it on the show.
All right, I got you.
Just let me know. Yeah, there you go.
Lonnie Ray, call in, buddy. He just walked in the studio. His name.
All right. See, this is the way fun radio works. I mean, you wouldn't catch any of those professionals on the station doing this. Does he know the number? Does Lonnie Ray know the number?
I don't know. Read it out for him one time. He's standing right outside.
704-570-1110. But I bet you I won't be able to talk to him. I bet the phone won't work because it's me. They say though that the sound quality of the home studio is great.
All right, we got him on the line. Ready?
Okay, yeah, let's see. Hey, Lonnie.
Hello, this is Liz. I was offering a test call for TJ.
This is not Lonnie. This is not Lonnie.
Okay. So they wanted to test whether or not he could take calls.
Yes. Can you hear me, Liz?
I can hear you.
All right, great.
Testing.
Awesome. Okay, so it works. All right, thank you very much. Thanks for your help.
Thank you. You're welcome. Okay. Bye.
Who was that, Isaac?
I have no idea. I figured it was Lonnie, but now we've got... is this Lonnie?
Was that just a regular listener?
Yeah, it was.
That was helping
Liz.
Out? Okay, cool.
Shout out to Liz.
That's great.
Lonnie, we got you, bud?
Yeah, I'm here.
Still don't have Lonnie.
I heard. So he said, wouldn't he say he's here? That wasn't Lonnie.
I'm here, man.
Okay, there's Lonnie Ray. Can you hear me, Lonnie?
Yes, sir.
All right, good. All right, there we go. We got Liz and Lonnie. That's the new morning show. Be on the lookout for them, Liz and Lonnie in the morning. They help us both out. Thanks, Lionel Rick.
All right, man.
All right. So yeah, go ahead and call if you want. I'll be able to talk to you. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why they don't pay me anything. Hey, let's just test the big market radio station that is the most famous station in the market in history just said, let's test out the phone by calling just to see if I can hear you.
Yep.
That's the way that we do it. That is the way we do it. All right. So this guy, Ryan Ruth or whatever his name is, the one that tried to assassinate President Trump on the golf course, he was found guilty, and they're going to sentence him, I think, December 18th. I don't have it in front of me, but I believe it was December 18th that he will be sentenced, and he's looking at life in prison. I didn't know that he had represented himself in the case until today when it came out that he was found guilty, and he tried to stab himself in the neck with a pen that was on the desk. And he knew enough, I guess, about that he could defend. He thought he could defend himself. He knew enough about courtrooms and things, but he didn't know that they put those pens out there that are flexible to keep somebody from doing just that, or to keep somebody from stabbing their attorney in the neck with a pen when they get found guilty. So he grabs a pen, tries to stab himself with it, and it bends because it's flexible. What an idiot. You talk about insult to injury. So he's already a fool. We know that. How do we know that he's a fool? Because he tried to assassinate the president? No. Mainly because he defended himself in court. That's how we know. Now, as an amateur attorney, an unlicensed attorney, I can say that we know he's a fool, because any man who represents himself in court has a fool for a client. That's what we say in the legal profession, or in my case, in the legal non-profession, since I'm not a professional attorney. So there is a sad aspect to this. We'll get into a little bit later on if I want to go back into this story. But his kids are there, you know, they don't understand. His daughter's yelling, he didn't hurt anybody. I'll get you out, Dad. I'll get you out. Now, the guy's a freak, and I'm sure he's raised his kids to be the same way he is and all, but it is their dad, and you just have to feel for them. They're standing there. His son, I guess, was outside. The daughter yelling, we'll get you out, Dad. He didn't, you know, just crying. He didn't hurt anybody. She also, I think she said that the whole thing was rigged against him or something. I'm not sure. But he's going to be remembered now probably just as much for a failed attempt to stab himself, to kill himself with a pen that was made of basically made like a balloon. It's like a safety sucker. It's like the handle on a safety sucker. Idiot. What a moron. All right, we got more coming up. Hang on.
More of the TJ Ritchie Show is coming up.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.
He's America's coolest conservative. Welcome to the TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Oh, well, there's an important question that fellow named Matt has called in with here. So, young Isaac, if you could bring Matt up there for me, that would be great. Hey, Matt, what's going on, man?
Hey, TJ, how's it going, man?
Great, man. How are you?
I'm good. I have a bet with a guy at work. We listen to the same radio sometimes, and so we pick each day what we're going to get. And it come to our conclusion, whether we listen to the country station, the rock station, or whatever, it's like each station just plays the same 20 songs on repeat, but just change the order up to try to confuse you. And he goes, oh, well, that's because the record company pays them to play those records. And I'm thinking, I don't think so. I said, I think it's because the advertisers want to hear the top 20 songs based on what consumers think. And so we got a $20 bet on that. And I figured you're probably the most qualified person that I have the ability to call on the radio to answer that question.
I do have the answer. And I don't know if either one of you are going to win the bet, because I don't think either one of you are right on it. First of all, you're more right than he is, because it's illegal for record companies to pay radio stations to play songs.
I did not know that.
Yeah, that's illegal. But what they do is they call it a tight rotation. So when they have their, let's say it's their 20, you know, best songs, like the hottest songs that the most people are downloading, or how they're ranking on the charts or whatever. So they get the top 20 that they think their listeners want to hear. Well, if it's a top 40 radio station, it's an active audience. So they're in and out of the radio all the time. They're not just sitting and listening to it. Like, you don't put it on during the day at work as much as you would a radio station that plays softer music that, you know, is not going to be disruptive and all that. So at a top 40 radio station, like I've always worked, they do have what they call a tight rotation. So if it's their hottest 20 songs, they want them to play as often as they can. And if it'll play every hour and 15 minutes, then that's a different group of people checking out the radio station at all times. And so whenever you do punch in, it makes the chances of you're hearing your favorite song greater. But as a longtime radio personality, I've always argued with program directors and music directors and all to say that that's too much. Because the goal is to get people to listen to your radio station for longer periods of time. And if you can accomplish that, then you're basically burning these songs. We call it in the business. The songs are burned.
Burning it. I'm starting to hate songs that I used to like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then in smaller markets, smaller towns, they will play a bigger playlist, and they don't play the songs in the same rotation. Meaning you could, if you're listening in, say, where I started in Alexandria, Louisiana, it's much smaller than Charlotte. So the song, number one song may not play, but every 3 hours or something like that. Whereas in Charlotte, it'll play every hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah. I always kind of like the night shows, you know, like, where they'll play some deep cut by Led Zeppelin that you would never hear on the radio. I just wish the radio played good stuff like that all the time. And they don't. They play the same three Journey songs followed by the same three Tom Petty songs or, you know, whatever station. But it's like, it's just after, you know, I'm only 2 years behind you, TJ. I'm 53 and, you know, it's like getting burned in my brain. Like I'm starting to not like songs that I used to love.
Right. That's also music testing. They pay for this music research, and they find out who their target demographic, what songs that they like. And it used to not be that way on stations that didn't play new music. Like let's say if it's a classic rock station, they wouldn't play the same songs as often because they had more to choose from. And if you're listening to a classic rock station, you like all of it. You don't just like the hottest ones because you don't have new music. But now, and I've even noticed on the satellite music stations, they do the same thing. Like there's one called Prime Country, and it plays 80s and 90s country, and it's pretty much the same tight playlist that you would get on a radio station that plays the hits.
I do notice that on XM radio as well, that they repeat themselves quite frequently.
Yeah.
But, hey, TJ, thank you for giving me that expert opinion, but who gets the money?
Well, the money comes from the number of however many times you play it and however many times it translates into people buying it.
That's where
the money comes from. But I have one question for you, Matt, because it's driving me nuts. Is your accent upstate New York?
Scranton, Pennsylvania. Good guess.
Okay. Man. I was close, though. I was close. All right. So good deal. Thank you very much for calling, Matt. I appreciate it, bud.
Thank you, TJ. Great show.
All right. Thanks. Talk to you soon. Now, young Isaac, I hope you learned a little something there. You're supposed to be taking notes on all the radio stuff.
Oh, my pen is just writing away, TJ.
I know you're lying because young people don't use pens.
I'm a slow typer. I got to use a pen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get you. All right. Well, I've seen a lot of stuff, people talking about Van Jones in relation to Charlie Kirk, and then, you know, he made a big deal about how he and Charlie Kirk were beefing with each other and all because Van Jones, I don't know where some conservative commentators get that Van Jones is a cool guy. He just has a differing opinion. Van Jones has always been a race hustler, in my opinion, except for when he was really young and he was an admitted Marxist. Which again, I think probably would go hand in hand with being a race hustler. The reason that he's making such a huge deal about Charlie Kirk reaching out to him and saying, "Hey, let's talk on my show. You know, respectfully, we will disagree and act like gentlemen and this, that, and the other," is because Van Jones had come out the day before the assassination and called Charlie Kirk hateful and said he was being racist and all this other stuff. I'm paraphrasing, of course. And that's why Charlie Kirk had reached out to him. Van Jones makes a living by race baiting. Van Jones, nobody would know who Van Jones is if he weren't the guy that is put on TV to always figure out a way to bring race into every issue. He's just a better dresser than D.L. Hughley. They're the same as far as I'm concerned. Van Jones, D.L. Hughley, what's that other clown's name? Mark Lamont Hill or whatever his stupid name is. That's all they do. They just sit around and try to figure out how they can put each issue into race. And you got people like Ben Shapiro. I like Ben Shapiro a lot, but he'll always take up for Van Jones and say he's not like that. But everything I've seen is that Van Jones is like that. Race, race, race. So I'm saying is I don't trust Van Jones, and everybody's giving him, you know, such praise now because he's saying nice things about Charlie Kirk. Well, he wasn't saying nice things about Charlie Kirk. He was in the same old rhetoric that everybody else who doesn't want the message that Charlie Kirk had to get into the minds of the people who need to hear it. Because where is Van Jones if black people understand that Democrats are out to do them no good? You see, and that's the thing. If Van Jones were really, you know, Mr. Thoughtful, Mr. Caring and Mr. Fair, he would recognize that the Democrats are the ones who are doing his people wrong and have for so many years. He knows it because he's not stupid. He's in the mix with it every day. He's in that political mix, and he knows. He knows. So don't fall for it. I'm not a huge Megyn Kelly fan, but I thought I saw something when I was scrolling today on social media that she ripped him for it, too. Good for her if she did. Good for her if she did. All right, so I do have a warning for you. If you're going to get upset about it, but it's going to happen, and it's in regards to Jimmy Kimmel. So you'll need to be prepared for that, and as your ever-loving leader, the Green-Eyed Patriot, I will prepare you for the disappointment headed your way in regards to Jimmy Kimmel. Coming up next. Hang on.
The Jay Ritchie Show. Radio, podcasts, and cool social media content. Get all the TJ you can handle at WBT.com/TJ. Now, back to the TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Kamala Harris is on the move. She's written a book, and now she's doing her book tour. She's promoting it. Isaac, I forgot to tell you, you have Cut 75 ready. Kamala on the Rachel Maddow show. So I don't understand how liberals don't get it. When normal thinking people are trying to explain to them how these programs like DEI and affirmative action and all of these situations where people are not hired on their merit, but they're hired on whatever quote unquote marginalized group they happen to belong to, how that's not good for a society. I don't understand how they just don't get it. And Rachel Maddow is beside herself here. She's so torn because she's sitting in front of Kamala Harris. And she would never say anything negative about Kamala Harris, not just because she wanted her to be president, but because she is belongs to two parts of the marginalized groups. She is of color and she is a woman. And it's just all Rachel Maddow can do to bring herself together to get this point across to Kamala Harris that she's not happy with something she said in her book. Something she said about Pete Buttigieg. So this is the clip from Rachel Maddow, two brilliant minds connecting together at MSNBC, Rachel Maddow and Kamala Harris. Cut 75, go.
To say that he couldn't be on the ticket effectively because he was gay is hard to hear.
No, that's not what I said, that he couldn't be on the ticket because he is gay. My point, as I write in the book, is that I was clear that in 107 days, in one of the most hotly contested elections for president of the United States against someone like Donald Trump, who knows no floor, to be a black woman running for president of the United States and as a vice presidential running mate, a gay man, with the stakes being so high, it made me very sad, but I also realized it would be a real risk. No matter how, I've been an advocate and an ally of the LGBT community my entire life. So it wasn't about any prejudice on my part. But
that calculation,
we had such a short period of time, and the stakes were so high. I think Pete is a phenomenal, phenomenal public servant. And I think America is and would be ready for that. But when I had to make that decision with 2 weeks to go, and maybe I was being too cautious. I'll let our friends, we should all talk about that. Maybe I was. But that's the decision I made. And I, as with everything else in the book, I'm being very candid about that.
Yeah.
Okay, that's enough. Pete Buttigieg was the mayor of South Bend, Indiana. And he gave a speech at a conference in Seattle. And the people liked the way he handled himself on a panel at a convention. And then they said on the left, hey, look, this guy served in the military. He does gay. Let's get him out here. Let's make him a presidential contender. So he wasn't even a good mayor of the tiny town of South Bend, Indiana. He had never run anything. He was gay. And because he was the gay, they said, we want him and we're going to make him the president someday. So he runs for the Democrat primary and he doesn't do well in the vote getting. But the people who were pulling Biden's strings said, okay, well, if you bow out and you give us your endorsement, then you'll get a spot in the cabinet once we're elected. And that's where he became the transportation secretary. Pete Buttigieg, you know, you talk about going against him because he's the gay. It's quite the opposite. And it happens like that in so many cases. Nobody would know who Pete Buttigieg is if he weren't the gay. Because he's the gay is why he is known now. That's why he's a national figure. But they don't get it. It doesn't matter that he's not qualified. It doesn't matter that Kamala Harris was not even close to being qualified to be the vice president of these United States of America. But she was chosen because of her race and her sex. And maybe because I don't know. She could do a better keg stand than all the rest of them. I don't know. Because it does seem like she liked the alcohol. But they don't get it. They don't get why we always talk about merit, meritocracy, judging people on their merit, not by what group they belong to. It's so weird. Now, most of the time, I would think if it's a professional Democrat like Rachel Maddow, is that she knows. I would say she knows the difference. She's just playing all of this up because she's trying to win favor with somebody, you know, with gay people or whatever. But I don't really think she does. I think she, because she's the gay, she's blinded by that as well. She just look at it like, oh, my God, one of my fellow people who is the gay got done wrong and I'm going to take up for him. Just weird. All right, TJ on the News is coming up next. Do not miss that. Hang on.
It's TJ Ritchie.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.
Live from the big city of Charlotte, North Carolina, it's TJ on the News.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Here we go, the most anticipated time of the night. Young Isaac is here. Lonnie Ray is here. So that means we should get started. Lead story. Yay. Oh, no. Look, kids. Actually, this is the theme music that should play every night on this show. Because it's basically a circus. Am I right?
No, man.
Am I right? A 48-year-old woman in Florida named Crystal Watts was arrested after she allegedly battered a 33-year-old man with silly string. She confronted him, began spraying, and emptied it, the whole can of silly string on him. And I don't know why they wrote the story that way, that she assaulted him or battered him with silly string, because that's not why she got arrested. Because when the string was out, she hit him in the face with the can. She threw the empty can at him and bust him in the forehead and left a gash. So Crystal's been charged with battery and spent a night in jail before being freed on $1,000 bond. The police didn't list a motive at all, so it's unclear why she attacked him, but he wasn't arrested. There's no indication that he did anything to her. It's also unclear what their relationship is, but that being said, her phone number is linked to an escort service. Uh-oh. Which has a website featuring a very a variety of naughty photos of her under the name Taylor. So, you know, there is a such thing as a clown fetish. You guys know that?
No, I didn't know that.
This is news to me.
Yep. You can juggle that, but I wouldn't do it at work unless you want to get in trouble. But yeah, it's people who engage in clown relations where they dress up in clown. And then this was way before the internet even started. They came up with this one a long time ago. I remember seeing it when I was a teenager. There was a show on HBO called Real Sex. And it was kind of like a documentary that was about like these people who had different, you know, fetishes and stuff. And that was one of them way back then, was a clown fetish.
I don't mean to laugh, but us millennials, we know that show. So,
oh, you do? Is that one of those that y'all used to watch when it was scrambled and you just try to see it?
Yeah, we try to get that safety, that little is a little safety pin back there.
But I mean, they do the whole thing though. They're you know, blowing the horns and I mean, just silliness.
Hey man, you're just clowning around.
Hey, a waka waka. I'd spray you in the face with a seltzer bottle if I had one right now. All right, here we go. Next story. I happen to love this guy's idea. There's a woman who is all up in arms because she's trying to talk her brother out of the name that he has chosen for his son that is to be born soon. The woman's brother is 29 and his wife is 27. They're expecting their first child. And she took to the Reddit talking about how crazy the name is that her brother has picked out for the kid. They couldn't come up. They hadn't been able to think of a name. And so he was out in the backyard, quote, smoking meat. He said, smoking meat in his backyard, end quote. And the name hit him and he wants to name their son Brisket.
Okay.
I love that name. Now, I love it as a nickname for somebody. Like, you know, that guy that works at the sports station, that really cool guy. His name's Smokey. Y'all call him Smokey.
Smokey.
Smoke.
Yeah, that's a cool name. But Brisket, I've never heard Brisket. And I love, you know, I'm the king of giving people proper nicknames. And I think Brisket is a cool name.
That's a tough government name, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You don't want to put that on the kid's birth certificate. The girl even said that. She said, I told my brother that'd be a cute nickname, but he said, you know, you're trying to stifle the creativity I have in my name and my son. He goes, it's a strong masculine name, Brisket.
Imagine the first day of school. do we have a, let's see, am I reading this right? Brisket? Do we have a brisket in here?
Before that kid reaches the first day of school, everybody's going to know about brisket in that town. The teacher's going to look at that list at kindergarten and go, oh, I got brisket. You know the one they named brisket? Hey, I got him. And finally, when the lights go down in the city, there is a Chinese man who has gone viral because he was riding an electric scooter and he crashed it and somehow got thrown from the scooter into a traffic light. And he got his head stuck in the traffic light for over an hour before they could get him out of it. So they said it was a temporary traffic light. And so he got thrown. So I guess it was standing on the side of the road instead of hanging from, I don't know. I haven't been to China in a long time. So I don't know how they have their street lights, how they're, you know, whether they're suspended up above or whether they're on poles or what, but The picture of him looked ridiculous, and it could have all been staged. You know, the Chinese are crafty people. Yeah, they could easily have staged that, just trying to get some media coverage. But it did look ridiculous. They said it was over 40 minutes though before they could cut it away from him. And he said the man was taken to a hospital and made a full recovery. So I don't know if he was wearing a helmet or what, but that looked like the traffic light was the helmet.
How do you play that? If you come up to this intersection and you know, somebody's in the light, you play that as a caution light, or what are we doing?
Well, I am not sure. I would think that, that in China, they'd be scared to do anything that's out of the rule book. Because, you know, it's communism over there. And
social credit score.
Yeah, they could end up getting beheaded or whatever the government does to them when they break a traffic law. They'd probably be scared to death.
Hey, ancient Chinese secret. Hmm.
Has either one of y'all ever had your head stuck in anything?
Lonnie, you got a big head?
No.
No. We had a guy that worked for us one time, and he was reaching through the railing, like on his patio, to reach something, and got his head stuck. Like, he could put his head through the rail and couldn't get it back out, because he was drunk at the time when he did it. So he was kind of sweaty enough to slip his head through the railing, but he couldn't slip it back out, and they had to come cut it with a hacksaw to get him out of there.
That's tough.
Yeah.
My dad says my head's been stuck somewhere, but I can't talk about it on the radio.
Yeah. Well, my grandfather always said that I have a dent in my face from where I fell out of the buggy at Walmart, because I have a dimple, and he said I fell out of there. But yeah, you do have a big head though, Isaac.
Whoa, I thought we were talking about Lonnie's big. Lonnie's got
but
a big
you got
on
a
head.
Pretty big head. But all right. I can't ever tell whether Lonnie's head is that big or the bonnet makes it look big.
Yeah, I do.
You do have a big head?
Yeah.
Okay. Y'all know that, you know, Rob that works on my other show?
Yeah.
He has to special order hats because they're so big. His head is so big. I put his hat on my head one time and I spun it around completely. I just hit it and it would spin like a top on my head. It's the biggest head I've ever seen. So maybe y'all could have a contest, Lonnie. Battle of the big head producers.
Oh, yeah. I might win.
I got my money on Lonnie.
All right, that's it for TJ on the News.
The TJ Ritchie Show. Identifying liberalism and mocking it relentlessly. This is the TJ Ritchie Show. On News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT.
Oh, we're having fun tonight, ladies and gentlemen, as we do most nights. You can call if you want. You know, obviously, there's nobody forcing you to, but if you got something you want to say, then go to say that at 704-570-1110. Also, the WBT text line with that number is driven by Liberty Buick GMC. We appreciate them and that. And if it seems like I'm preoccupied, it is because I am. I'm scrolling through text right now, and I have not... I'm not a person that can do several things at one time and make it sound like I'm not doing it. Mm-mm. Oh, this is cool. Scott sends a very important little factoid here. Only 2% of the world's population is green-eyed, you know, because I'm the green-eyed patriot. Yeah, we are a rare bunch, the truly green-eyed people. Mm-mm-mm-hmm. Very unique we are. Now, hey, look, here's the thing I wanted to warn you about Jimmy Kimmel. I know a lot of people were so thrilled that Jimmy Kimmel was getting some grief and that he had been, as we call it in the radio business, that he had been excrement canned. But he's back tonight. He's going to be, you know, back in Disney and ABC. They said, okay, he learned his lesson. He had a suspension. The affiliates still not thrilled. They're saying they're not running his show and so forth and so on. But he's coming back tonight. We broke the story last night. We were all over that. But what you need to realize is that Jimmy Kimmel is about to have the biggest ratings he's ever had. Even with those stations not carrying his show tonight, I think Jimmy Kimmel is going to have huge ratings tonight. Now, here's the thing. The way it works in this business, and when I say this business, I mean the broadcast business, is that it only takes one show to start a fire. And that one show can start a fire and get people listening to you or watching you. And they do it the next night and the next night and the next night. And before you know it, you look up and your ratings have been huge for a long, long time. That's what happened with Jay Leno. When they had what they called the late night wars between Jay Leno and David Letterman. Because when Johnny Carson left the Tonight Show, he was supposed to hand it down to David Letterman. Well, that didn't happen. Jay Leno ended up getting the gig because, David Letterman did the late, late show. The one that was after the Tonight Show on NBC. So Jay Leno comes along and he gets the gig. Well, then CBS hires Dave Letterman and puts him on opposite Jay Leno. And when Dave Letterman went on the air on CBS against NBC, he was killing it. He smoked Jay Leno every night. I mean, Dave Letterman's ratings were through the roof and he was killing Jay Leno. One event happened in the 90s, and that event was Hugh Grant, the little British actor, was caught with a prostitute. I'll never forget it. I was new in radio, and we just had a heyday with this on morning radio. Her name was Divine Brown, and Divine Brown was a prostitute and not a call girl, but what you would call a streetwalker back then. And he had hired her to perform for him, on him, his person. And he got caught and arrested. Now, that hit, it was all over the news. It was before the internet, so it wasn't even in social media. But it was the top thing everybody in the world was talking about. Hugh Grant had a movie that was coming out, and he was scheduled to do a promotion tour and go around and do interviews on different shows and all. And The Tonight Show with Jay Leno was one of them that he had scheduled. And he had it scheduled just a couple of days after he was arrested and his mugshot went all over the news. And he kept it. He kept his appointment. He kept his slot to be interviewed by Jay Leno on The Tonight Show. Obviously, that was the most viewed show Jay Leno had ever had as the host of The Tonight Show. That one night. And from that night forward, the people that went there because they wanted to see Hugh Grant talk about getting caught with this streetwalker named Divine Brown, they liked the rest of the show that Jay Leno was doing. They liked his monologue. They liked all of the other bits around they found themselves entertained, and they came back the next night when Hugh Grant wasn't on, and they made it part of their routine. Jay Leno never beat, Dave Letterman never beat Jay Leno in the ratings again for years. They competed against each other after that. And Jay Leno was always on top of David Letterman after that one night. Now, I don't think that that's going to happen with Jimmy Kimmel. I think it's going to be a one and done, because the difference is that Jay Leno was likable. So you go on to watch Hugh Grant talk about getting caught with the streetwalker. Jay Leno as the host was likable and funny. If somebody goes because they want to see what Jimmy Kimmel has to say about getting suspended or almost fired or whatever, because he said something about the to Charlie Kirk's assassin that wasn't true, you still have to deal with the fact that Jimmy Kimmel is unlikable, and he's a miserable liberal, and he wears it on his sleeve. So I don't think people are going to take to him the way they did Jay Leno on that night in the 90s. But he is going to get huge ratings tonight. There's no doubt about that, even without the affiliates, all those affiliates that aren't running his show. But, you know, I don't have time to get into it right now, but there is a part of me that is not full, you know, firing on all cylinders here with most of the conservatives in the country right now. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm Mr. Ultra Conservative, but there are a couple of issues that have come up lately that I'm not that, you know, I go along with it or whatever, but it's not something that I feel like I need to come out swinging over, you know? So I'll get into some of that in just a few minutes. So we'll do that next. Hang on.
It's TJ Ritchie.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.
Late, live, and local. It's the TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
All right. We got a lot left to cover here. We only have two segments left. So I just grabbed some audio clips today, and I usually label them better than this. But I have three of them here that are basically, we just have to listen to them, and then I'll tell you as we go what they mean and why I picked them and all that. But as of now, they're just all pretty much labeled ugly white liberal women. So, Isaac, let's start with the first one that is labeled ugly hag says bully MAGA.
But I do have to give Tim Walz credit for saying that we need to be meaner, because a lot of you need to be, like, meaner. Of course that's what you're saying. You leftists just want to bully everybody. Yeah. In this case, yeah. If you're still walking around with a MAGA hat, yeah. Yeah, I fully intend on bullying you, and I don't feel bad about that.
Yeah, you're so tough. This is another one of those liberal women that's just like, oh, God, you're so big and bad and strong. And, oh, my God, what will I do if you come up and try to bully me? And this woman looks like a bullfrog. And, you know, they all have that same, and I've told you before, if you watch these videos on social media, they're sitting in filthy houses. They personally look dirty, like they, you know, like they haven't bathed in a while. They're just losers, just pitiful losers. And so it makes her feel good. It makes her feel like she's tough to stand there and talk into her phone and post it on the social medias and say she's going to bully people for wearing MAGA hats. Okay, wake me up when you get to the exciting part, hag. Okay, so let's just go to number two here. That is another ugly liberal white woman. Go ahead.
I'm going to say something really obvious, but apparently a lot of people need to hear this. If you don't think Charlie Kirk was a racist, you're probably a racist.
Peace.
If you don't think Charlie Kirk was a racist, then you're probably a racist. Okay, does that make you feel better? Does that give you moral authority calling out all the other white people. Oh, all you white people that don't think he was a racist means you're a racist. Ooh, how clever you are. Way to put us in our place. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, beauty. I'm telling you, liberal women are, especially the ones on that have the, like their family and friends don't care enough about them to keep them off the TikTok because they make fools of themselves. I mean, they need help. They really do. They need some help. Okay, and we have another ugly liberal white woman. Cut 74, Isaac, go.
Daily reminder that if you're the same color as me and you believe that the way you live is morally superior to the way other people live, be them of a different race, ethnicity, or religion, that's white supremacy. You are a white supremacist.
Thank you. Thank you so much for clearing that up for me. I'm glad you have the definition of white supremacy. Oh my God, nobody would ever think that you're a racist because you just established your moral authority over all other white people.
I mean, how stupid is that statement? If you think the way you live is superior to the way somebody else lives, if they are a different race, then you're a white supremacist. Okay, well, I'm sorry. But I'm sitting in here in the air conditioning comfort of my home studio. And I'm in a comfortable chair and I've got probably $5,000 worth of radio equipment in front of me that is broadcasting my voice all over the world. I have a beautiful wife that is downstairs, and from what I can tell, she's got some tacos going for tonight that I'm going to eat whenever I get finished talking for a living. So if I say the way I'm living, if I've got a better life than somebody who is carrying their laundry down to the river on their head and dodging crocodiles as they're banging out their shirts on a rock, then that makes me a white supremacist. Okay. I don't know. Let's see about you, Mighty Whitey, Miss Good Feeling, Good Time White Lady. Let's look at the way you live. Do you think you live better than the person I just described in the third world carrying her laundry to the river on her head, walking 2 miles? Oh, you must be a white supremacist then. I'm telling you, white guilt is so destructive to a society, but it's also, it's crippling to individuals who choose to live their lives that way. So, she doesn't really, and nor does the other lady that was talking about, if you don't disagree with Charlie Kirk, you're a racist. They don't live their lives and really believe that, you know, they're not really searching to put people of color on the same level with them. See, that's the difference between a white guilt liberal and a white conservative. A conservative wants everybody to be on the highest level possible, no matter what color you are. We want everybody to excel, because when people excel as individuals, society excels. See, these liberal white guilt sufferers, all they want to do is prove that they aren't racist and that they are better than you are. They don't really want to raise up anybody because of the way they act or anything like that. They just want to say the words and make everybody else go, "Oh, look, you're so kind, you're so giving, you're so not racist." Meanwhile, they're not doing anything to help anybody. She's not doing anything to increase the quality of living for anybody of color. She's just out there saying words, saying the easy words, making herself out to be a martyr, putting herself and her image above anybody else's, including the people she's claiming to speak for. So when you walk around living your life that way, then you're not helping anybody. And you're also not helping yourself because you're living a lie. You're living the lie that you really do care about people of color, when what you really care about is how the world perceives you, or how you feel about yourself. You wrap yourself in narcissism and make it seem like you're mighty whitey, so concerned about the plight of the people of color. Yet you don't do anything about it. You don't see that other people of other races are really your equal. You see them as pathetic and pitiful, and that they need your help. They need you, the mighty whitey, to reach down and bring them to your level, instead of a message of, hey, you can be and do whatever you want to be and do. Greatness is within you as an individual. You see, liberalism robs people of the desire to reach individual greatness. And that's what's so sad about it. And it's also what's so destructive about it. So don't fall for any of that. These white liberals acting like they really care about people of color. You're just trying to make a name for yourself on social media, and you want everybody to point and go, oh my God, she's so caring. Karen? No, caring. Oh, okay. All right. We got one segment left, and I may have to hit you in this last segment with something that is really going to anger you and possibly frighten you. It should do both. So we'll get to that coming up next.
The DJ Richie Show. He's radio royalty in the Carolinas and Queen Charlotte's sweetest prince. It's TJ Richie on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
So young Isaac just reminded me of something I was supposed to have talked about, and then I forgot. See, I'm really bad about that, and I apologize, but I will say that I'm going to talk about something, and I'll go next, like it's coming up after the commercials and news and stuff, and then I'll forget by the time we come back, because I don't stay focused on one thing enough, and... You know, Isaac and Lonnie are always carrying on some stupidness and, distracting me and, I forgot. So here's the thing I was going to say earlier where I break from a lot of conservatives of today. I never thought the Cracker Barrel thing was that big of a deal. I think I've said that before. I look at things like, okay, if you get a woke CEO and the woke CEO wants to change Cracker Barrel to be more woke, then I just say, stop doing business with them. I've done that with so many different businesses that I don't even know how long the list is now. For example, Nike is one. If Nike wanted to change how they make shoes and design them differently and all that, it wouldn't matter to me. I don't support Nike as a company because our principles are different. And so I don't buy Nikes, nor does anybody who receives money of support from me. Like my kids, when they were living here and I was supporting them, they didn't buy Nike either. But if the Cracker Barrel wanted to do, like all the boycotting and the stuff about, I mean, it can't even change. Now they're not even changing the way that their restaurants are decorated. Now, that was another thing. And I get that it's a change in, you know, taking away the Americana or whatever the meaning would have been behind it. Just like I think it's stupid that they, on the little pegboard on the table that everybody loves, that little game, it's, that's, you know, what you go to Cracker Barrel, if it weren't there, you'd be like, where is that? You know, the messages on that now are more, you know, they're less harsh. Like, they don't call you a moron or anything if you can't get it right. That's weird and woke, which, by the way, I can get it down to one peg every single time. It's no big deal for me. Maybe that's why I don't think it's a huge deal. But to not even, like, so now they don't even redecorate their establishments like they were going to. I didn't like the fact that they took the old guy off of the logo. I knew that that's why Cracker Barrel was doing that. I knew probably it was because he was an old white man, and that's the enemy to, that's what the left wants everybody to think, that white men are the enemy of all of us. So I didn't like that, but just stop going. I mean, protesting and doing all of that stuff. But then again, they look back and go, well, we got what we wanted. All right, so now you are going to go to Cracker Barrel. It's still got the same woke CEO and everything. You going to go spend your money at Cracker Barrel with the wokeness? Because they you know, you protested and got them to stop redecorating and had them change the sign back. And the other thing is that with the Jimmy Kimmel situation, I don't think it should have ever gotten to his you know, as crazy as it's gotten. I wish the FCC guy would have just stayed out of it. Jimmy Kimmel said something and his customers didn't like it. So let the customers deal with it. Government needed to stay out of it. Even though the government didn't try to force them to suspend him or anything, just why even muddy the waters with government in it? Just stay out of it. Now you kind of, you know, you've rallied people behind Jimmy Kimmel because now he's fighting the system. Okay, and then the other thing that I said was going to make you mad and frighten you is a clip of, it's a clip of another one of these of Islamists talking about their plans to take over the Western world, Great Britain and America. These people are serious, and you need to know this. Go ahead, Isaac, cut 70. Cut 73, yeah.
We are the messengers of the messenger. We are the representative of this deen of Islam. We have to be the solution. The future is ours. Every ideal nightmare of a Muslim Europe will come true. They can be as mad as they want. I don't care. America will be a Muslim country. Russia will be a Muslim country. Islam will enter every house. We have to be a part of that change. We have to be a part of that da'wah. We have to be a part of those ghuraba who stand firm on our aqidah and our practice and our deen and never, ever apologize. We're unapologetic. Never, ever compromise. We're uncompromising.
So world domination is what that sounds like to me, is what the plan is. Now, I know I've gotten, and I don't know whether this is because the audience is growing on this show or not, but usually the people who are the most, the most irritated are the ones that speak out the most and want to complain all the time. So I'm getting more and more texts into the show every night of people calling me names, racist, white supremacists, you know, the the names that they call everybody who disagrees with them, You know, it's what the left has. They have the accusations of racism and white supremacy and blah, blah, blah. So I'm getting more and more of those. But before I start getting people who are legitimately intelligent and they get confused thinking that I may be saying that all Muslims are like that, I'm not. I said Islamists. That means the people who are hell-bent on complete and total world domination, especially our country and Europe. The people like Mamdani, that's going to be the mayor of New York. People like Ilhan Omar. People like Rashida Tlaib. You know, two of our, you know, two of our wonderful, wonderful Congress people. Those wicked witches. So, how much longer are we going to continue pretending like this is not an issue? How much longer are we going to just say, we don't have to worry about that? Have you seen some of our cities, our major cities? And how un-American they look at times? If you're not seeing that, then you may need to get a computer. Minneapolis, Dearborn, Michigan, and I'm not saying that people don't have the right to practice, you know, their particular religion in U.S. America, because they do. But when the religion that you choose to practice and the extreme that you practice is taking over the American way of life, and its goal is domination of America and changing our country from what it is, then that's a problem. So we're going to get more into this tomorrow night. But that's it for me, because Mark Levin is up next. God loves you, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. See you tomorrow night.
It's TJ Ritchie.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.